Welcome to the History of Batman with London, brought to you by Meltdown Comics and Collectibles in Hollywood, California. This is where we relive the defining moments of one of the most iconic figures of art and literature, the Batman. My name is Mason Booker, and as always, I'm joined by London from the shadows. Maybe he'll say something, maybe he won't. We never know. We are joined by Shadow Adam. History of the Batman is produced and engineered by me, Mason Booker, and now co-host London. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
How are you?
Doing rad today.
Rad.
Yeah, even though it's a little gloomy today.
It's a little gloomy, but we're
again,
holding
in
a ball of sunshine.
Los Angeles. I don't understand this weather.
I'm a fan.
But no, things have been good, and I know we skipped a week, which I am sorry.
We apologize.
I apologize.
Life happens.
I am, yes,
life happens.
Life
man.
Happens.
You know
for
why?
Because
we got big things coming and developing, you know?
Yes.
For you guys, and the fans.
And I was going to say it last week if we did an episode, but I guess I could say it this week. History of the Batman on Instagram turned 4 years old.
What? Happy birthday.
So everyone who.
Happy Bat birthday.
Happy Bat birthday. My real birthday is actually coming up.
What are we doing?
Next week.
Uh oh! So, what are we doing?
Whole lot of nothing. I
don't. That's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted to hear, London.
For my birthday,
I thought we were gonna rock it out.
My birthday's the 15th, so it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
And
so
but
you're not
I really
even gonna be
don't
around.
Do. But I don't really do anything, and it's on a Wednesday, so I'm
so
most
Wednesday's the day for parties.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know.
But I did want to say that everyone who is listening that has followed the Instagram, I wanted to say thank you for supporting it for 4 years. Whether you have, I've had people who said, I have been following you since you had less than 1,000 followers, which I'm like, that's insane. I can remember when I had less than 1,000 followers. And now it's at 284,000, which is so
and
great.
And growing.
And still growing, which is great. So,
so
I just
good.
Wanted to thank everyone for the support. Listeners and followers and everybody, you guys rock. You're the reason why this is happening and it still continues. You guys are great. And I want to say thank you for that. Indeed. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, London, for giving us what we want.
But yes, we have been busy trying to make the show better for you guys. And we have a very special guest with us today. And I am so excited.
I'm super pumped.
I
can't believe you got this guest. I'm so pumped. Impressed.
I am so excited. And so we have with us today the director of not only seasons of Robot Chicken, Moral Oral, which I am a fan of, but also the director of the Lego Movie and the upcoming The Lego Batman Movie, which is out this Friday, February 10th.
Oh, my God!
We are joined by Chris McKay. So,
Hi, Chris.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. We are just going to jump right into the questions because I know you're on a time schedule and we don't want to keep you.
But thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so excited.
Great. Have you guys had a chance to see the movie yet?
No, not yet.
We're waiting eagerly.
I know. It comes out Friday. We're going to see it. I'm going to see it probably Thursday
night. Because
you're
lucky.
So I have a couple more days to wait, but I am anxiously waiting.
That's cool.
Take it away. Let's dive in.
Okay, perfect. Since this is Batman, which we love to talk about here, what was your first memory of Batman, and have you always enjoyed the Caped Crusader?
Yeah, my first memory of Batman was a T-shirt I had when I was a really little kid. Was this Batman kind of with his cape out, kind of in front of a moon, big Batman, very 70s inspired art. That was the first thing I remember because I think it was my school pictures. wearing a shirt in my school pictures. And then I probably got a comic book and was probably hooked at that point. Batman also showed up on Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Super Friends, you know, was on TV. That kind of thing. And so, I loved Batman. I don't think there's ever been a time where Batman wasn't a part of my life in some way, shape, or form. I've always been a huge fan. And I think that when the Frank Miller stuff came out in the 80s,
yes,
and it was, and I was always sort of like, I was always a big kid. Like, you know, I played with toys like into like high school and college and, you know, D&D and all of that kind of
thing. Classic.
And I also, but at the same time, I was like getting into music and stuff like that. And the fact that Rolling Stone magazine did an article on Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, and that sort of legitimized for me my love of comics and Batman, because here was this adult thing that was doing this glowing article on, you know, Frank Miller's stuff. And so then, you know, I felt emboldened to continue my love. And then the Tim Burton movie came out.
Yes.
And, you know, all of that, all of that stuff. And I liked Batman, but I really liked Batman Returns. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I loved Michael Keaton. I was a big Michael Keaton fan before Batman came out.
Yes.
So the fact that, like, Michael Keaton was cast as Batman, I couldn't understand, you know, the hate, because I sort of, you know, I saw it. And then, you know, Batman Returns came out, and that was like, you know, Tim Burton kind of doubling down on his Batman, his affection for Batman and all the crazy characters in the universe. And, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, that's the reason I have a Catwoman tattoo.
She's so perfect as Catwoman.
I'm forced to agree.
Some of those scenes between her and him, especially when they're, that scene when they're dancing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
They're out of costume is so good when he realizes who she is and she realizes who he is. It's really great writing. It's really great stuff. Some of my favorite scenes in movies.
Great moments.
Definitely. So it seems like you kind of jumped into Batman comics right when the graphic novel and the more adult stories with Frank Miller, with Dark Knight Returns, and maybe Year One. Are you still into comics? Was that your start into comics? And did you have any particular favorite series or writers, or were you more into the kind of gothic era in the 80s going into the 90s?
Yeah, you know, I've been a half-ass collector of comics throughout my life.
You get the good ones.
Where it's like, depending on how much money I have at the time.
Right, yeah.
Where am I at financially?
Exactly.
You know, can I pick up a couple issues of something?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, and I probably don't remember what my first issue was, because it was before the Frank Miller stuff, but it was probably something from the late 70s maybe, where, you know, but I don't remember which one it was. And I, you know, I'd get X-Men, and I'd get whatever Spider-Man. I was a big fan of Spider-Man too.
Yes.
And even like because I also loved monsters and genre stuff when Marvel did like Tomb of Dracula and Werewolf by Night and stuff like that. Like I liked, you know, that stuff too. And I always liked the reason why I started to associate like Dracula and Batman is because they both are, even in those, even before the Frank Miller stuff, they both, you know, they were drawn dark. It was all at night. You know, he sort of was, he was a scary good guy, you know, that kind of thing. I think those things were what appealed to me about Batman, that he wasn't, and even though I love Superman and I love the Richard Donner Superman movie, and Christopher Reeve's performance, but
so
like
good.
Batman was that, you know, he was kind of had that edge and was kind of bad. And also he was aspirational. He, you know, I could, unlike any other superhero, I could become him if I worked out karate and studied forensics and criminology and that kind of thing. Like, you could be, you know, he was a combination of Sherlock Holmes and some kind of like, you know, night stalking, you know, vampire. You know, I've always had great affection for him. And so, like, I don't remember what the comic was, but it was definitely the Frank Miller stuff that made me really sort of like go, oh, this is interesting storytelling too, because Frank Miller used media. You know, he used, you know, the way the reporters, you know,
the news in the background,
you know, the commented on the incidents, and he used flashbacks in ways. And then Tim Burton kind of bit off that in the Batman movie and, you know, the first Batman movie and so on. So, you know, I was really sort of like, oh, I saw the influence. You know, it's one of those things where I'm tracing all these things. Like, oh, I see what he took from the, you know, he must have been inspired by the scene from the Frank Miller thing, and that's why he did this. I love tracing all of that, those kinds of things from one source to another. And that was just my journey as a kid, you know, finding references and somebody's, you know, the frantic references to, you know, Akira Kurosawa and a Spielberg or a Lucas movie and that kind of thing. It made me curious about these other sources of, you know, filmmakers and that kind of thing.
Definitely. And you mentioned that you saw a parallel between Batman and Dracula. Just really quick, have you read the Vampire Batman Elseworlds series by Dirk Minch and Kelly Jones? You would absolutely love it.
Blood
oh
rain.
Batman literally becomes a vampire.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. So it's just a recommendation if you are into that.
It's called Blood Rain.
When you
right?
can't, yes, there is a Red Rain, there is Crimson Mist, and there's Bloodstorm. It's a 3-issue series, and it's awesome.
Oh my God. When we get off the phone or when I get out of these interviews today, I'm heading.
check it out, man.
No, when you said that, I'm like, oh, he has to read that.
Yeah, I think you'll be pleased. Amazing. I'm so sorry. We gotta take 1 second break, guys.
Yes,
just listen to this. We'll
be
right back.
Well, okay. Jumping into your background really quickly, how did you become involved as an editor and producer within this industry?
Well, I moved out to Los Angeles. I'd been doing a lot of different. I had my own kind of film business in Chicago. I was, you know, working on music videos and commercials and editing people's independent films and that kind of thing. And got an opportunity to do when I was out. I was kind of visiting Los Angeles, and I got an opportunity to do a meeting because of some of the editing work I'd done. Got an opportunity to meet the people behind Robot Chicken before it became Robot Chicken. The
nice.
Was called the Untitled
Robot Chicken is awesome.
Show. Yeah, and they lost their editor like a week before they were going to start production on that first episode with the Kill Bunny sketch and that kind of thing. And so I came, you know, people had seen my editing, and they basically said, well, look, we lost our editor. We really need an editor bad. You can move out to Los Angeles. We'll give you 3 weeks to prove yourself. And, you know, if in that same time, we'll still be looking for another editor.
No pressure.
And we'll kind of go from there. And, because I, you know, and I didn't know a ton about animation at the time, because most of the stuff I'd done in live action, I sort of just kind of bullshit my way and said that I could do animation, but I wasn't really totally sure. But I'd always been able, I've always been able to figure it out. I was never an assistant. I always sort of figured out whatever job I needed to do and kind of, you know, smart enough to kind of learn how to be a DP, learn how to edit stuff, learn how to put editing systems
nice.
Together and that kind of thing. So I just figured, okay, I could kind of wing it and figure it out. And fortunately I did, and they liked working with me, and I really loved working with Matt and Seth. And because I had this live action background, and stop motion animation is very much, it's obviously animation, but it's very much like live action filmmaking, where you have to build or find every single thing you're going to put on screen. Mm-hmm. My ability to produce and direct, and also because I'd been a DP, I understood how cameras work, and we were, you know, shooting stuff with, you know, digital still Fuji cameras. I was able to kind of parlay all my experience into sort of becoming a director and producer. So by the third season, I was directing episodes of Robot Chicken. By the second season of Moral Oral, I was directing episodes of Moral Oral and producing Moral Oral, and contributing in sort of a, you know, kind of a story capacity to both shows. and then worked with Matt and Seth on Titan Maximum, which was their giant robot show in stop motion. And so, I kind of started, you know, I'm a hard worker. I, you know, if I can't figure it out, I'm going to work hard enough to make it happen and figure it out. And, you know, if it takes, you know, whatever, it takes me sleeping at the studio in order to get something done, I'll do it. And, and through that, I worked on, you know, I worked on all the seasons of Moral Oral. I worked on 5 seasons of Robot Chicken and 3 Star Wars episodes, and the 1 season of Titan Maximum, and got an opportunity to do a pilot at Disney, and it was a pilot that somebody else had written, but Disney was kind of unsure about the take and the execution of the take specifically from the creator. By the way, sorry, I'm coughing, guys.
That's okay.
That's okay. We're all coughing.
they brought me in to kind of like, you know, because, you know, they knew I was kind of able to sort of execute on kind of like a low budget. And I worked with them on this pilot, and the show didn't go because it was a little too like anime for what Disney was doing at the time. But I worked with a production designer named Justin Thomason, who worked on Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs with Chris and Phil, and he told me that Chris and Phil were looking for a co-director on the Lego movie, because they were in the middle of doing 21 Jump Street at the time, and needed somebody to kind of like, you know, because I think the movie had lost its green light at that moment, and they kind of needed somebody who could come in and kind of, you know, pitch, basically like energize the studio on the concept of what the Lego movie was going to be while they were in New Orleans shooting this movie. So I worked with them a little bit over the phone and then kind of and then in person once they got back, and we just kind of hammered out, like, you know, we did meet in person, but we sort of, you know, they had to run out to New Orleans, and we kind of just started workshopping stuff together. They had a really great script, but it needed, like, you know, it needed to kind of get kind of, you know, kind of go through this process where you kind of like, there's good ideas here, but you kind of have to actualize them and get them up on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, I got a board artist, and we started kind of like working out this chase scene with Emmett and Lucy and Bad Cop. And at the time, Emmett's mom was like a big part of the movie. So thing that, you know, ends up we cut out, but it was this, you know, time was an important part of the movie. And just kind of, I did this animatic, and I also did this animation test with Emmett, because at the time the studio thought that Emmett shouldn't look like a Lego minifig, that he should have like eyes that sort of protrude and eyelashes and, you know, eyelids and depth in his mouth and teeth and stuff like that. And I, you know, I just sort of like, we're like, okay, let me just take it down to like, cause the minifig has stood the test of time. Like, it's been around forever.
Oh yeah.
So like, let's just animate this thing. So I basically did this bit where Emmett has to audition for his own movie. And recorded Chris and Phil, like, you know,
please tell me feedback. That's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. And so I did that, and so that kind of helped the studio get comfortable with the look of the movie we're trying to do, the animatic, you know, with like, I had like Metallica and
nice.
You know, Metallica song Fuel in there in the chase scene, and kind of made it this big, like, kind of like badass Michael Bay chase scene, which ended up becoming the chase scene between Emmett and Lucy when she realizes he's not the special. That was the start of that scene, and those two things combined, you know, people, you know, knew that I got the tone, knew that I got the style, and that started my relationship with Chris and Phil, obviously, in the studio. And from there, you know, I just sort of, you know, I became the animation director, the co-director and co-editor, and had a story of the Lego movie. Was in Sydney working on the movie for a year and a half, and then came back, and they were already in process with Ninjago, and the Will Arnett's character was such a breakout character in the first Lego movie that they knew they wanted to do something with that, and Chris and Phil really wanted to do something with Batman, and in the meantime they were going to develop Lego 2, which I was going to direct, and for some reason Chris and Phil kept asking me to be a part of the Lego Batman meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kept telling them, like, I would gladly still be their co-director on Lego Batman, because they were, at the time, they were going to direct it. This was before Han Solo came along.
Oh, so
they were going to direct Lego Batman. But when we pitched the studio, we pitched Lego Batman and Lego 2 on the same day. It was the summer of 2014. And we pitched both stories, and clearly Lego 2 was going to be this big musical as well as an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
It needed time to develop these songs, you know, this time. And the release date was such a crazy release date for any animated movie, let alone one as ambitious with, you know, the amount of time we need. We had to sort of, we basically said, well, let's flip-flop the release dates. Lego Batman was then going to come out in May 2017. And I was going to, and basically everyone turned to me and said, well, Chris and Phil can't do this deadline. Do you want to do this movie? And I was like, is Warner Brothers asking me to direct a Batman movie? Yeah, I'm in. Like, please let me do this thing. And then ultimately, because Ninjago had to get pushed again, they moved our release date up to February. So I had to basically get a animated movie out with no script at the time, basically get an animated movie out in 2.5 years, less than 2.5 years. So we may be the first.
That's crazy.
It's been a crazy ride, but I'm such a big Batman fan that I was just like, okay, now let's do this. Throwing everybody into the research. I wanted this movie to basically look and act like the 78 years of Batman and 70 years of Batman in Gotham City was, you know, all of the timelines were somehow on our Batman's timeline. So whether it's the Dark Knight or the Adam West series or something like that, that there's touchstones along the way that our Batman, you know, is basically the history of Batman.
That is amazing. So all of the eras somewhere are represented in the film at some point.
So yeah, so you'll get Crazy Quilt and Mutant Leader in a scene together. You know, and sort of the point of view I sort of took was, what if Burt Ward's Dick Grayson and Ben Affleck's or Christopher Nolan's Batman were in the same movie together? You know, you're taking the, you know, the, take the darkest interpretation of Batman and the brightest interpretation of Robin, and those two people were in a movie together. That was the kind of the point of view, and Seth Graham Smith kind of pitched it as, what if there was a Book of Mormon-esque Robin, who was super positive and indefatigable, and he was partnered with the, you know, the dourest, you know, broodiest Dark Knight.
And you can see in Will Arnett's take of Batman, it's darker than the Adam West 60s Batman. So I can totally tell that there's that balance of dark, maybe Nolan or Affleck or even Keaton. And then there's like the bright Robin that you see in the 60s to kind of give that balance that you even saw in the comics, which is awesome. And I like how it is a whole retrospect of the history, because even in the trailers, if you haven't seen the movie yet, in the trailers you get a really detailed look of the Batcave, and you see Alfred, and you get to see Barbara Gordon, and the Rogues Gallery is great because you said Crazy Quilt, but I saw there's Calendar Man, and there's all these different characters. I'm assuming there were so many different sources. Were there the comics? Were there the old TV shows? Was it the movies? Was it just a collection of everything trying to pack it into this Batman mythology, kind of to showcase it? It was just everything.
I mean, literally, it is your podcast. Literally your podcast writ large on a movie screen. Because I tried to take on, you know, try to put as many of that they will let me, you know, as the budget will allow, or Legos, you know, Legos not gonna be comfortable with like Flamingo's backstory or something like that, you know. And so you know what I mean? So like, there's certain, you know, so there's only so many that I can sort of get into the movie, but I got a lot, and I got enough that sort of represents the breadth of it, and you can sort of imagine that maybe, you know, future movies, if they'll allow us to make future movies. I mean, I would love to do a Rogues Gallery Suicide Squad movie.
You know that's coming. Like, this is gonna crush box office records. It's coming.
That would be so cool.
I think that would be fun, or a Super Friends movie where you do the Justin League.
Absolutely.
That would be really fun. This is a Lego movie, of course, and yet, like people like me, I mean, I am dying to see it. I've always been a huge fan of the Lego franchise. So what can, I mean, it's for kids, but also it can be for adults as well. Like, what's a draw to both audiences? It's just, is it the nostalgia? Is it having a little bit of Keaton in there? And then at the same time, how is it appealing to kids as well, to all audiences? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, well, I tried to take obviously there's a lot of really great Batman movies and great Batman stories out there. I wanted to do something that, you know, the way I pitched the studio was that I wanted to do Jerry Maguire as directed by Michael Mann with a lot of jokes in it. So it's a story about Batman's overcoming his fear of really letting people get close to him. Batman's afraid to get hurt again. He's afraid.
That is a reoccurring theme in comics and all the media.
I have to ask, do you feel that Batman is capable of having a real relationship?
Well, I think this movie hopefully points to the possibility of that kind of thing, or that Batman grow and allow people into his life. The idea that maybe Batman could change and maybe a welcome a family in, I think is kind of the thing that I wanted to try to do. And that's how I tried to find a way to make it for both, you know, the simple enough story the kids would get and be able to track, but it's somehow, you know, if you know the character, there might be something that might be a little more emotionally resonant for you.
Sure.
Definitely.
And keep you kind of like, keep you interested enough while I do the absurd jokes about all the different crazy characters and go off on some tangents and things like that. I'm hoping that there's enough of an emotional spine and enough of a plot spine that you stay with the movie while allowing us to do jokes for kids, jokes for adults, jokes for, you know, Batman nerds like me or comic book and movie nerds like me. There's enough sort of allusions in there for everybody to get. And if you've seen the animated series, you'll get something.
Oh,
if you love the
awesome.
60s series, you'll get something. If you love the Christopher Nolan or the Ben Affleck version, there's something in there for you, too.
It's something for everybody.
Laugh,
yeah.
And try to take the airplane model where, like, okay, if you didn't like this joke, you know, a minute ago, there's another joke coming up for you in a minute that you're going to like.
That is awesome. Well, from all the trailers and all the promotional things, I am very excited for this movie. So it comes out February 10th, comes out this Friday, and I am excited to see it on Thursday. And I know that the listeners are very excited. And so I wanted to say thank you so much, Chris, for coming on and talking to us about the movie. I am even more hyped about it because I love all of the references and how literally all of his 77, almost 78 years are packed into this movie somehow, and that to me feels like the perfect movie for what I do on the podcast. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. I think on the next movie we're going to cast you as one of like the newscasters.
That would be amazing.
So you can be the voice of, like, you know, because we do a lot of exposition.
Yeah.
And newscaster voice. So you'd be the perfect person
to do the
exposition of the history of Batman and
so
good. That would be great.
That'd be amazing.
I am holding you to that.
Absolutely.
It's out here. It's recorded. Can't take it back.
We're doing it.
Nice.
So thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, go see the Lego Batman movie.
Check it out this Friday.
Yes, check it out this Friday. I know it's going to be amazing. I am very excited. So thank you so much, Chris, for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. London, that was amazing.
Yes.
I can't believe you got him.
I know.
And he's so cool.
So cool. And it was amazing to hear him discuss all of the Batman he put into this movie.
I know. I was listening.
Amazing.
I was like, I don't even know some of the stuff he's talking about.
Well, I did. And let me tell you.
Well, who's Flamingo?
There's so many different characters. It's funny because when you look at the trailer and you see the Rogues Gallery kind of running, you can tell there's so many obscure characters. Like he said, like Crazy Quilt. It's like, that's...
Yeah, who's Crazy Quilt?
It's just,
does he quilt people to death? Does he like steal quilts?
No.
I don't know.
No, he wears like this colorful quilt. He's just this crazy criminal. He was actually one of the first criminals that went after Jason Todd when he became Robin in the 80s.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then I saw Calendar Man. And then there's the usual Riddler and Catwoman and Joker and Harley and all those. And I just love that he tried to put all of the 77, 78 years of Batman into it. And the best part for me was that he pretty much is my show.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the movie.
Right.
And I'm like, that is the best compliment I think I've heard. And
I mean, that's good. That's
it's
good. But that's not the
time.
Best, London. The best is you're going to be in the next one.
Oh, I know. And I'm going to be a reporter talking.
What?
That's so cool.
So good.
I am so excited. I hope that happens.
Everybody go see it. Everybody, we got to pump. We got to pump the box office.
So the sequel can be made so I can
sequel.
Be in the sequel.
London Jackson in the credits. What's up?
So cool. So, yes, I am going to see it tomorrow night, I'm sure.
How did you get these advance passes?
No, everyone can see. I mean, for a lot of theaters now, they're showing them Thursday nights at like 7 o'clock,
Thursday,
8
midnight.
O'clock,
right,
9 o'clock,
right.
Or midnight.
Right.
And then it's everywhere Friday. So I probably will see it Thursday. Actually, I'm not going to see it Friday because thanks to Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, I got free tickets to see the movie Get Out.
What
early.
Is Get Out? I don't even know it.
No, it's Universal Pictures. It's written and directed by Jordan Peele, and it's like a horror movie. But but it's really cool. Like if you see the trailer, you'll trip. But it comes out the 24th. But they're doing the LA premiere at in downtown.
Oh, cool.
Friday, and LA Comic Con was giving out. You can RSVP for free tickets, and it's a Q&A afterwards and everything.
That is,
so I'm going to that.
I gotta say, like one of the main benefits of being in LA. is that when you go to like movie premieres or whatever, there's often Q&As with the, you know, creators.
Yes.
And it's such
it's the cast and the crew, and it's awesome.
And you're just like, oh my God, I'm talking with A-list movie stars. Like, it's not, I mean, you know, it's a real treat.
Yeah, for sure. So everyone go see the Lego Batman.
Go see it. Support.
Like you heard Chris McKay say, it's for everybody. It's for the young and old fans of Batman. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, so, and he's clearly a passionate fan.
Yes.
I like that everything he did was motivated by fandom.
Definitely. Yes. You get a pull from the comics and the TV shows and the movies and everything. And you love one of those things. Even if you don't read comics, you've probably
seen
the
movies. You've got to go just for the animated series reference.
I know. There's going to be an animated series reference. I'm hyped just for that alone.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Yes. Okay. So thank you, everyone, for listening this week. If you want to check History of Batman out on social media, you can always follow on Instagram at History of the Batman, on Twitter at Hist of the Batman, on Facebook at History of the Batman, and you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is History of the Batman. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe.
Please subscribe and also rate us.
Yes.
And if you could, bonus 5-star rating,
that would be amazing.
That's huge. That's how we find new listeners. That's how the show survives. It's how we keep going. Really, guys, please.
Yes,
help us
so
out.
Listen on MeltComics.com, on iTunes.
Leave a review.
Yes, you leave a review on iTunes, Google Play.
iTunes.
Yes, but iTunes is the big one.
iTunes is the big one.
It is the big one. That's the one I always promote.
Sorry, Google Play. if your site was laid out better, it'd be different.
I have talked to people who are like from Australia and New Zealand.
I'm not
and
doubting.
They're like, hey, I can't get on iTunes.
Oi, I can't do it.
So I have to like share it for everybody.
I understand and I get that and I love it. And I wish Google Play had their site laid out better because they just don't. It was like a total afterthought. But
yeah.
You know.
So if for some reason you can't get on iTunes, at least go to the meltcomics.com website in categories History of the Batman, and you can listen to the episodes there.
You certainly can. You can download it, listen to it, whatever you like.
So, and also if you have any questions or episode ideas, things like that, we will be recording a couple of non-interview episodes.
What?
I know, but some people are like, there's too many interviews.
Too many.
So
London's getting too big. London, all you do is talk to A-list celebrities now. What's going on?
No. I'm going to do sessions just like I do on my social media, so you'll have more of that as well. But if you have any episode ideas, please email me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com. And a bonus on Instagram. I only do it on Instagram. I have Nerdy Tats Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I share Gothamites or your followers, and you have a cool tattoo. It doesn't even have to be Batman. It can be anything geeky, pop culture, like anything.
Sorry.
If you have Star Wars or even anything Marvel or Doctor Who, anything. If you have a tattoo that you want to share, you want to showcase, I showcase about 20 every Friday. And if you want to share it, please email me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com. Do not direct message me because
it's too clogged.
I learned the hard way, and I had to look it up because I wasn't sure. And people were DMing me their tattoos, and then I realized, according to Instagram's terms of service, you cannot screenshot and share a private message. Instagram will take it down.
Interesting.
So I got all of these tattoos in DMs, and Instagram kept taking it down. I'm like, what is wrong?
but if they put it on the Insta story, you can do that.
Yeah, if you put it on your page,
right,
or you photo tag me on your page, I can screenshot it and I can do it. But do not DM me your tattoos. I will not be able to share it. Easiest way is to email me because I will for sure be able to share it. So please.
Cool.
So if you want to participate in that, show off your awesome body art, please email me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
All right.
And,
you know, everybody should come down and check out Meltdown Comics. 7522 Sunset Boulevard. We've got all of your comic neediness here.
Comics, collectibles.
Check it out.
If you're a D&D player, come on down.
Yeah, they got D&D weekends now.
Signings, all kinds, comedy shows, all kinds.
They just had this massive Brian K. Vaughan signing.
Yes.
It was great.
I mean, just come on down. Whether rain or shine.
All right. All right, we're good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know the drill. It's
London.
It's all about peace, love, and Batman.